Warren Christopher was Secretary of State under Clinton.
Yeah. And I had gone to SC with him. And actually, he was at Hollywood High School when I was there.
Really?
Yeah. And then at USC. And Connor and I, they had a home on June Street in L.A. down in off of Highland. And we did a big remodel for them there. And then they bought a lot out at in Playa del Rey, out by the beach. And so we did a new home for them there.
When was this?
Oh, that was really quite early. That was probably, 56.
Huh. And what was he doing at the time? What was Christopher
doing? He was with, I think Gang Terror, had same firm he's with now.
Okay.
Not bad. It'll come to me, but.
Okay.
But he was with a big, very important law firm. And we had a nice house. They were very happy with it, but it was right at the end of the airport.
Oh.
So after they had all those houses built, they development, and they bought out all the houses, and they were all demolished. And then he moved somewhere else, and we were involved in other jobs of his. But I still see Warren every once in a while.
Oh, yeah?
Go to a party, and yeah, it's kind of fun. He lived mainly up in Carpinteria now.
Uh-huh.
And I think he has some sort of residence, and he comes into town, he stays in town here, and then he goes up there on weekends.
When he was Secretary of State, just watching him in the news, he seemed like a very serious guy, but with kind of a twinkle in his eye.
He's a great guy.
Yeah? Just,
which is, he's always immaculate with his Brooks Brothers suit. Always immaculate and great. You're absolutely right, a little twinkle in his eye, a lot of fun. In fact, this last November, I was in Japan, Tom Hines photographing some Frank Lloyd Wright buildings.
Oh.
And I get back, I come back home December 7th, if you can imagine, 2001. I get on the plane, and all the airline stewardesses are talking about Mr. Christopher is aboard. And so I asked, is Warren Christopher? And she said, yeah, he's up in first class. And I said, I'm going up and see him. So I went up and came up behind him and, may I see your ticket, please? And, Don, what are you doing here? Same thing you are, Warren, except I'm with the peasants. And he ordered a glass of wine, Chardonnay, and as usual, being on the plane, looked just as immaculate as he does on TV. So we chatted for a while, and I said, I know you're tired. He'd been doing some political work. And so when I went back, I was a big celebrity because I knew Warren Christopher. So they treated me with all kinds of things.
That's great.
And another one I worked for was a great guy, was Mac Factor. A friend of mine happened to be one of his top men, and I remodeled Millie Factor's master bedroom and dressing room for her, and we were good friends all the time. And I remember going to the body shop at Max Factor one time, and it was a strip joint on Sunset Boulevard, and having a lot of drinks and a lot of fun. He never forgot that, and Max was, in spite of all his age, the amount of money he had, he had more fun with the guys that shined his shoes and the cleaner people and all that. That's with big celebrities. He was a great, great guy.
That's great. Where was their house?
They had a condo on Wilshire Boulevard down by Doheny, one of the very first condos in the Westwood area.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun. Sorry that Max went. But so it's been very interesting working for these various people.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you traveled with Tom Hines. He's at UCLA, right?
No, it's a different Tom Hines.
Oh, different one, okay.
This Tom Hines is an architect, and he's from Chicago, okay. Evanston, really. And he and his wife live there, and he's written 20-some books on Frank Lloyd Wright.
Okay.
And he's also working with Randall Mackinson now on books in Green and Green.
Oh, great.
So Randall Mackinson, who was the big authority in Green and Green here in Pasadena, and Tom Hines, who's the big authority on Frank Lloyd Wright. In fact, I'm having dinner with him tonight down at my nephew's.
Oh, great.
Went down for a barbecue, and they're photographing today stained glass windows of Thompsontown. And I'm going to, tomorrow night, going to see a play about Frank Lloyd Wright with Tom tomorrow night.
Great. Where does your nephew live?
San Pedro.
Okay.
He does all our cabinet work now.
Oh, your nephew does?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Mark Traubert. T-R-A-U-G-H-B-E-R.
Great.
And so he's been doing all those since, he did first job he did for us was Conrad Bus House.
Uh-huh.
In about 87. So he's been doing all of our work since then.
Great. Are there any other celebrities you'd like to talk about before we go on?
Let's see.
You've mentioned a lot of them, but are there any?
Well, like there's kind of, we started to do a house for Adam West when he was popular as Batman, and that was kind of fun.
Oh.
Usually meet him at a big bar someplace and have about four or five drinks with him. I had a great time working on plans, and he gave up on that. And I didn't make a list, so I just...
Oh, that's fine. That's great.
That's funny.
That's great. Well, let's move into some of your houses specifically. Are there particular ones that you've done that were some of your favorites or really meant a lot to you because of the way you constructed them or the people you worked with?
Well, actually, every one of them's quite unique. I really like them all.
Right, yeah, I know.
I mean, you get to the... I think we've gone through the Dubnov house and the...
We haven't really talked about the Dubnov house, no.
Well, there was two cases when... of former students of ours whose parents wanted to do a house and have their... In one case, Ina Dubnov was the daughter, and they bought a lot. So she came to our office, and we collaborated on designing a house for her parents. She did most of the working drawings, so that was the Dubnov house. And then Roger Hong was a student of ours, and Roger Hong's parents bought a lot up in Ferndale Park, and he came into our office, and we designed a house for Roger's family, and he did all the working drawings on it.
Oh.
And at that time, Mr. Hong was one of the most influential people in Chinatown, and attorney, and it was very, like I say, very influential. And Roger went on to become an architect and do a lot of very fine commercial buildings, and still living in the home.
Hmm.
And then we did a series, for bringing up Lawrence Harvey, who was so very important in our career. We did a first house for him in Cabrillo in Beverly Hills, and then we did a house for him in... He and Joan bought a house in Palm Springs, but then they bought a lot. We designed a house from down there, and we built... we didn't build that house in there, but contractor did. And then we did about four or five houses down there. And we got involved with Arthur Elrod, who is one of the great interior designers of all times, who was doing a lot of very, very big homes down there. And he recommended us to a couple of clients. So we did about six very large homes in Palm Springs.
Huh.
And I was, of course, Joan staying down there weekends, and so I'd usually drive down Wednesday, supervise, and come back, and then go down weekends with Joan and kind of overlook some of the houses as well. So it was a great period of my life, about 5 or 6 years in Palm Springs.
Huh.
And then Larry bought a lot in Malibu, and then I started doing a lot of houses in Malibu, and it was about a 5 or 6 year period of knowing everyone there on La Costa Beach and Carbon Beach, and partying with all the celebrities down there, and great time.
When was that, in the 60s or the 70s?
Yeah, that was 60s and early 70s.
Uh-huh. When you designed in Palm Springs, I mean, it's known as a mecca for modernist architecture. Was it a different kind of feeling designing there than in Pasadena?
What do you think different was? You just had to make... designed with a heat problem, the sun. You couldn't use too much wood because the wood couldn't take that change of temperature, extreme heat and cold, so much more stucco and masonry sort of thing.
And glass also.
And glass, of course. Oh yeah, sure.
Right.
Lots of glass, but you just had to, consider the sun problems down there.
Huh.
The temperature's going up to 115 and keeping the sun out of the interior space and air conditioning and all that. But other than that, it wasn't anything major, but just trying to orient it correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you always had either view of the mountains or, the orientation of the building, and depending on the site, was very important.
Hmm.
Sun control is a big thing.
That's interesting. Do you think that's one reason that modernist architects have designed in Palm Springs, because traditional materials don't work as well?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, but Palm Springs did have quite a few, before we got there, quite a few contemporary homes. And I think it's, so many of them this is pure conjecture.
It's okay.
But the people, those are more or less vacation homes. They're more liberated people for some reason. And then because of being Palm Springs, they had more of a tendency to get away from tradition.
Huh.
And strangely enough, in some of the country clubs there, most, other than some of the quasi French provincial homes, there are a lot of contemporary, semi-contemporary structures.
Huh.
So when we did ours, we had no problems at all with our contemporary homes down there, the big ones in terms of the deed restrictions and building departments and all that.
Huh.
So it was kind of fun. Everything worked out very nicely down there.
That's great. Did you ever have any complaints from neighbors in Pasadena who didn't like a modernist home going up in their neighborhood?
Well, we had this house right here.
The Hernandez house?
Hernandez house. We had a big problem with the neighbors next door. We complied in every respect when we did the design. The neighbor next door said we were going too far out, and it cut our view to across this property to look see the Court of Appeals building.
Oh.
And even though we could have technically pushed the house another 40, 50 feet, we had to go through the design review board, and because they were able to get all the people in the vicinity here to be on their side, they knew them all, they'd been living here a long time. After many meetings with the planning department, we had to move this house back 15 feet.
Really? Wow.
Which turned out to be okay, because it gave a bigger terrace out by the pool, but it created more problems in the back, so we had to go into piles back there and a much more expensive footing, and a lot of extra drawings, which we didn't get compensated for. It cost us a lot of money professionally, but after moving back 15 feet, then they planted a lot of trees, so they can't see the view anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of ironic. We haven't talked to them since, but yeah, they gave us a bad time. But other than that, I can't think of any problems in Pasadena. It's very, very nice to work in.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's been great. We've done a lot of homes here, and it's the only problem we've ever had.
Oh, good.
And we did have some, when a couple of subdivisions that a client wanted to do, where they took some big piece of property and wanted to subdivide it to make more smaller lots, individual homes. There's a certain, ironically, one of my fellow classmates who was an architect, he and his wife was pretty rebellious. Every time we started to do that, they would get a group together and shoot it down.
Why?
Because they just didn't want any more subdivisions there. And even though they're all within the limits of what you could do, and they're all perfectly fine and would have been cool, and they just were negative in that respect. I won't mention any names, but
sure.
Shot down a couple of things. But other than that, everything's been fine.
Huh. And you mentioned there was a period where you designed a lot of houses in Malibu. Was that significantly different from designing in Palm Springs or Pasadena?
Oh, yeah. There, everything we did at the beach had to be on piles.
Oh, sure.
So that was very interesting, because you have to dig the piles, wood piles, mm-hmm. like telephone poles,
yeah,
into the soil. And I got very used to that. After my first one, I knew exactly what was going to happen and all that. But, and then you had Coastal Zone Commission that put a lot of restrictions on. It was very tough for a period, because a lot of restrictions on what you could do, and a lot of restrictions how far out you could go. It had relative to the neighbors on both sides. So a lot of very technical things, and then of course none of them had sewers, so you had to have plenty of space for the septic tank and cesspools. So everything we did there was down to the inch of setbacks, side yards, disposal system. It was really complicated, every job, but you have to get everything out of it you could.
Huh.
Not like designing something in a couple acres where you just take all and spread out as much as you want.
Oh, sure.
So in that respect, it was challenging, but it always worked out. We got everything built. And we actually had built most of the houses we did in Malibu.
Hmm.
That was along quite a while ago, but it was kind of fun, and a lot of driving back and forth, but it's interesting and fun and exciting.
Hmm. Do you... the houses that you've done in Pasadena, I mean, you mentioned that there was sort of a celebrity culture in Malibu. Do you ever sort of miss that west side of L.A.
No,
feel?
No, not a bit, no. No, no, there's people, and it's the best thing about, well, the clients, it's the rapport you have with the clients, the attitude of the clients, and the excitement of doing something new. And it's a lot more glamorous being involved with a bunch of celebrities, but it doesn't make it that much more fun. Mm-hmm. It's just the good relationship is the most important thing. Hmm. And also, it's very nice being close to home.
Oh, sure.
There's
sure.
a lot of driving to Malibu. Oh. And a lot of partying, too. Life was great.
That's a long way, yeah. Are there any other houses you'd like to talk about, a specific one?
Well, I think right now we're restoring the Coppersmith House, which is one of the probably the nicest house, one of the nicer houses we did, which is actually in San Marino.
Mm-hmm.
But
what street?
It's on Houston, right behind the Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for a family, husband, wife, and seven children, all of various ages. So we had quite a pretty good sized house, and it was they entertained a lot, and they had Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and, of course, business associates. So interesting in that the entry was an ambient space. The entry hall was like 20 by 30.
Wow.
So that was where they really entertained. That was the hub of the whole house. And to the left was the adult kind of living area and master bedroom. And to the right was the family, or the kitchen, family living, and the kids up above. And that central core flowed to the outside, so that when they entertained 150 Boy Scouts, they could all just flow through that very easily, or Girl Scouts, or family affairs, whatever. So that was, depending on what kind of party it was, that entry space was flexible in terms of how many tables were in there, or what sort of party it was. And that's the family now, the Chus, HSU, bought it, and they're restoring it and bringing it up to, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great house.
Are you working on that right
now? Work right now, yeah. They should actually be, it should be complete in the next few weeks, and they should be moving in a month or two.
So you're sort of retired, but you still do some of these projects.
Oh, yeah, I got little projects. I got about four little projects going right now.
Huh.
Yes, some remodeling and adding on new suites and consulting in various aspects. In fact, I'm consulting on this house,
mm-hmm.
helping the architect that's doing the new tennis court pavilion for this house.
Right, tennis court pavilion, and what else?
And they're adding an 8-car garage and
right.
and some more basement space and storage space.
Huh. Do you find, does that sort of keep you fresh to do these small
projects?
Yeah,
it gives me something to do, which is very nice and keeps me, yeah, I don't know if fresh is the word, but it's fun.
And you seem plenty fresh, don't worry.
I really enjoy it because I'm not one to sit around.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like today, I mean, if I wonder with the many things I have to do, if I was really working like I did before, how I could do it. Like this morning, I spent all morning working on the book with Alex Mosley.
Right.
This afternoon with you, and then I have a few errands to do this afternoon, and going down to the barbecue down in the San Long Beach area. So it's just right.
That's great. When is that book going to be finished?
Well, we hope we're getting all the material together that Alex Mosley and I are working with Jim Steele, who's now in the Orient. When he gets back, probably the 1st of September, he'll start putting it all together. And with any luck, we might have it printed by December.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'll be very amazed if it does. It could be. But we can see the light at the end of the tunnel now. We've got probably about 80% of our work done.
When did you start working on it?
Started in January 2001, so it's a year and 7 months so far.
Wow.
Getting all together, but we're feeling pretty good about what we have. I think you saw some of the files that we had on it.
Right, huge files, yeah.
So,
Can you tell me, we can talk more about your houses as they come to you, but can you tell me all the places you've lived in Pasadena?
Oh, that glad you asked that, because it's it goes back to when Conrad and I were teaching at USC, and a dear friend of the Buffs, Irene Wright, lived in a house overlooking the Rose Bowl, and what is now the Aquatic Center, mm-hmm. and right behind the Gamble House.
So you mentioned this very briefly.
Yeah. So, and we had a giant party there for some of the faculty members, the Rites of Spring party, a costume affair, which is
the Rites of Spring?
Yeah. Very memorable party. That was a great, great party. And it was a great space. It had been built as a studio, but it looked like a lodge. And by the two sisters, they would build a couple of greeny greenhouses on the Royal Terrace. And I always remember that space, how wonderful it was for that big party. And I just great and never stopped talking about it. To one day, and Irene Wrights had a couple of kids, and her husband had left her. He went with Henry Kaiser over to Hawaii to design a home for Kaiser, and he stayed there. He met someone and he just left Irene, so she was there with the kids by herself, and Conrad kind of helped him out a lot. So one day she was taking Conrad to the airport, and she said that she was thinking about selling the house. So Conrad, knowing I was in the market for a house at the time, called me. He says, "Don, Irene is getting ready to sell her house. Why don't you go talk to her?" I did, and I bought the house the next day.
And this was about 1986?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all right.
And who designed it?
They're not sure who designed it. I think the engineer that worked for the Green Brothers probably did the trusses. It was just a great two-story space and wonderful and overlooking the park and
wow.
See the Rose Bowl. And then I was all board and bat on the outside. I left the exterior as it was, except I redid the bathrooms and the kitchen. And then I also did the entry walk and all of that and landscaped it. And it was on a Gamble House in conjunction when Randall Mackinson was still the director. We had a home tour of four greeny greenhouses and Frank Lloyd Wright's La Miniatura.
Oh yeah.
And then we did a two-unit condo for Randall Mackinson, a collaboration with Randall. And so we had a home tour of Randall's two-unit condo, La Miniatura, and my house, and four greeny, the Duncan Irwin house, and the Culbertson house, and a couple other greeny greenhouses.
Huh.
I think we had like 2,000 people go through.
Wow, what year was this?
That was,
or approximately?
Approximately 96.
Okay, right. And what was the address of your house?
377 Arroyo Terrace.
Okay. And when was it built, do you know?
About 1912, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. It was right across the street from Charles Green's house. There was Virginia Tansman lived above me, and then I lived kind of below her because she actually owned the house that the two sisters had, and then they built this one, which is very close to their house, so they could paint and sculpt and weave and all that. And they actually had it so they could walk out on the roof of it, and they had a hammock
wow.
and kind of an arbor there, and they had Persian rugs on the roof, and they'd sit there in the late afternoon and watch the sun go down.
Persian rugs on the roof?
Yeah. So it was.
That's really something.
So that was my first home in Pasadena, which I really enjoyed a tremendous amount and entertained a lot in it and all that.
And you lived there until when?
Till almost 4 years ago.
Oh, very recently.
Yeah, so I put it on the market one time when the Duncan Irwin house down the corner was on the market. The market was really up, and the market kind of fell out. And the only trouble with my house in terms of selling it for the right price was there were a tremendous number of steps down to getting into the front door.
Oh, how many steps?
About 40 steps.
Wow.
From the major problem was there was a car parking deck down off of the driveway. It wasn't roof covered.
Oh.
And then from there you had to walk down about 40 stairs to get to the front door.
Huh.
That was much as I liked it because I enjoyed the exercise and all that. But in terms of a lot of people looking at it the first time, you know, all these steps go down and up. And so I had a lot of when you get inside, of course, there's steps, it's two-story space too. So
right.
a lot of plenty of back and forth. So I took it off the market, and I had to eliminate a great big eucalyptus tree up above that was hampering the carport.
Oh.
And so I had that removed, and I enlarged and rebuilt the carport and made it much sturdier so you could get two cars in there, which made a big difference. And then put it on the market and sold it.
Can you tell me how much it was?
I think I got around $700,000.
Oh, wow. Can I ask you why you bought a house built in 1912?
Oh, because it's a space. Oh, sure. Oh, my God. It was just space. You walk in, a giant fireplace, 12 feet wide, 6-foot opening, and all brick, and big, great trusses in the ceiling, and views out to the Rose Bowl, and the deck off into the eucalyptus trees, and then I, in a bedroom, a master bedroom, just floated above. I got all kinds of drama, so there was no question. And I got it for a very good price, too, so.
Right, but I mean, you design these modern houses, so.
Yeah, but this you can imagine, this is on almost an acre of ground,
okay,
right by the Rose Bowl, behind the Gamble House.
Okay.
no question about it. And I had a lot of fun refurbishing it and bringing it back up to mint, making it a pretty quality home.
Oh, yeah. So then you finally sold it 4 years ago?
Yeah, just in November, it'll be 4 years.
Okay.
And when I bought that house, my other house was in escrow, and as soon as I went to escrow in that house, the other one fell out because of some problems with the people. And so I was carrying escrow for two houses for some period, and I had to lower it, and I finally sold it for a lot of money less. So I was very skeptical about going out and finding something. This house was in escrow. So I was kind of waiting to see whether I could find another house to buy to fix up. I knew I couldn't buy a piece of property. That was out of the question because there's just nothing available.
Oh.
Whether get a condo or what. So I just was kind of playing it cool. And one day I'd had breakfast at Shaker's on the Royal Parkway.
Sure.
And I was driving up and telling myself I've got to start looking because escrow's going to close any time. And I look up, and there is a big sign that says, renting now, the Holly Street Village.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, well, I'll see what's going on. And I got to do something. So I have a park in the rotunda there, right in front of the real estate office. And I went in, and a very charming young lady said they had a couple of units, and she showed me the units. And one, it wasn't acceptable at all. But the other one was quite nice, with a view of City Hall. And in the middle of the complex, very quiet, and a lot of privacy, and on and on. And so I said, I think this will be just great. So I called a couple of good friends of mine in to tell me if I was crazy or not. And everyone was encouraging. They said, oh, yeah, this is great, wonderful. And so I took it.
And that's at Raymond and Holly?
No, that's at Holly and Royal Parkway.
Oh, right.
Right at the end of Royal Parkway,
right,
and Holly Street. And I'm very happy there. I mean, it's very convenient. I don't have any plants to take care of, and no animals. And if someone says you want to take a trip, you know, I can just lock the door. It's got a security system, and I'm off.
Why did you move?
I just felt that at my age, in a few years, it'd be difficult keeping that place, and much more difficult to move and do the things I wanted to do. And I just foreseeing the future, and I could have stayed there. I loved it a lot, but I definitely wanted to stay in Pasadena because it's such a great place to live. And so I just felt that was probably the time to do it and kind of simplify my life and put everything together, and which just worked out that way.
That's great.
So now I can travel whenever I want. Like last year when Tom said, you want to go to Japan? And I'm sure.
Oh, wow.
10 days.
Yeah.
Someone said, you want to go to Chicago or New York? Or him, and just go.
Did you have grand parties in your old house in that big
oh,
space?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. I'm terrific for that.
Huh.
It's great.
Huh. Well, let's...